May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
Good afternoon, and welcome to Attention, Please. I'm Phil Andrus. Attention, Please is aired on Mondays at noon and at 5 and on Saturdays at noon, and is presented by KPTZ to draw the attention of all of us to the good work being done towards a better informed and more resilient community. With me are the directors of the two public libraries in our county. Dr. Tamara Meredith is the director of the Jefferson County Public Library, and Melody Sky Weaver is the director of the Port Townsend Public Library. Welcome to you both.
Thanks so much for having us today, Phil. It's an honor.
Thank you, Phil.
Melody, the occasion which prompted me to invite the directors of our two libraries was an email from you regarding this year's community read. It's an email that I get about every year, it seems like. So I will start with you. The city of Port Townsend has proclaimed March is the official reading month. So I say, first off, why March? And what do you mean by the official reading month?
Whenever the community read was founded 17 years ago, they picked March as reading month. So maybe because they thought it would be good to do something in spring before people got too busy. So I don't have a good answer for that, but that's what we've been doing for 17 years now. And that means that we have our community read. And we have one book that basically the idea is that we will build community through the shared experience of reading and discussing the same book. And what makes this year special is we have two books that cover all ages: House in the Cerulean Sea by TJ Clune for teens and adults, and Wish Tree by Catherine Applegate for kids. Very hopeful, uplifting, fantastical books this year.
So you have jumped my question, but I will ask you to amplify on your answer. The two books, as you mentioned, you give the titles, but tell us a bit about them and why two this year.
Well, I thought it was really a great opportunity to bring books to uplift everyone in our community. And I love fantasy. These are both urban fantasy books that have some beautiful magical realism in them. And, you know, I didn't want the kids to be left out. And our generous library foundation came forward and helped us buy 1,000 books, including a copy of Wish Tree for every student at Salish Coast Elementary School, which is really amazing. So Wish Tree is this beautiful book with the main character, Red, who was a 216-year-old oak tree. And she's been used as a wish tree where people tie their hopes and dreams to her on May 1st every year. She's also a family spot. She houses owls and skunks and possums. And she has been passive all of her tree life until a Muslim girl moves into the community and she sees the community not being welcome to her. And she decides to take a stand to support creating a welcoming and inclusive community. And it's a really beautiful tale and also beautifully illustrated. Great for ages 7 and up.
The house on the Cerulean Sea would seem to span ages, at least to me. I read the book. It happens not because I knew it was going to be the community read, but because whoever it is that reviews books for the Seattle Times recommended it. And I got it out of the library some time ago before the Great Rush began. As I read the book, my sense was that it would easily be appreciated by even an early teen audience. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think absolutely. Yeah, House in the Cerulean Sea is perfect for early teens as well. And that really makes me feel good. That's great validation to know you read the book before people were coming to get it. And I do want to say too, Phil, to give a boost for Chris Wilson on her Book Lovers Cafe. She'll be interviewing the author TJ Clune about his work too.
Okay, and I should know, but I don't know right now when that is scheduled. Do you?
No, I believe it's sometime in March. So a good thing for viewers to look to, because KPTZ, since the beginning of our community read, I believe you all have been wonderful community partners for us.
What's the process you use for choosing the books? There used to be a committee, I think there even used to be a committee that included members of the public. Is that still the case?
We have done a variety of approaches, which is fun. I think variety is the spice of life. This year, I decided to pick the books as the library director. We have had committees made of members of the public, made of various factions from our friends of the library, library foundation, city council, library staff. We even one year had the community vote on a book. And what we heard from community members was, can we just have our librarians pick the book? They're experts in reading and we'd love for you all to pick the book. So I have been doing that the last couple of years. And I also get suggestions from my staff, but this year I had read both books and I had wanted to bring the authors to town, but they're pretty famous, busy authors, and we're not able to travel to Port Townsend. So Zoom has really let us be able to cast a wider net, and they will both be here virtually in March on Zoom.
And I'm going to get to you with questions about events that you've planned, but I wanted to ask Tamara what activities, well, maybe not activities, but what involvement the County Library has in the Community Read.
You know, we support the Community Read through distributing the books and making sure when they come back from across the community that they make it back to their proper homes and get redistributed. We don't have an official event here through the County Library, but when those books that Melody's Foundation have purchased make their way around the county and are returned, we make sure that between our book drops and our bookmobile being out in 7 communities around the county, that those are being redistributed to people that are looking for them.
And this question is for both of you. You're bringing in, I don't know how many books, but quite a significant number of books, of these two books. The libraries, County Library and City Library, will not have to keep them all, I assume.
No, what we usually tend to do, I mean, we get most of these books are read and release. We have some that are, you can check out from our collection, but the idea of these read and release copies is you read it, you don't have to worry about returning it to the library. You pass it on to a friend or neighbor to read, and they typically keep circulating throughout the community for years. And some come back to our friends at the library, and then our friends resell them. And our friends are the ones who make all the programs possible. So a big shout out and thank you to them. And I will say that the County Library is great about boosting our programs and just helping people know about what we have to offer. So thank you, Tamara, for always being a great partner to us.
Absolutely. And one of the benefits we get out of this is we have read and return collections in some of our smaller community centers. So in Coyle and Quilcene and Brennan and the Tri-Area. And so when there are extra copies that don't end up living in people's homes after this, very often we can reuse them in our community collections out there around the county.
Your answer turns out to be different from the one I expected, because I was thinking the books would go back to the publishers. But no, they stay in the community and eventually end up on the Friends of the Library bookshelf at the book sale, which is quite a good thing. Back to Melody Skyweaver. Explain to me how the read works, especially in these, well, I'm going to being the optimist that I always am, I'm going to say the waning days of COVID. Maybe we don't want to see them as waning. Maybe we can't afford to do so, but how does a read work? Are we getting together face-to-face? Are we all getting together on Zoom? What do you think? And this is for Melody Skyweaver.
Yeah, well, I'm a glass overflowing eternal optimist too. So I had originally hoped we were going to have in-person programming, but I knew when the Wooden Boat Festival sadly had to cancel that we were probably going to be virtual, and I'm glad we did. So the majority of our programs are going to be virtual over Zoom, but there are some in-person programs. One is our story walk at Kata Lagoon, which anytime during daylight hours, you can walk the story walk and read a picture book. A Year Around the Great Oak Tree is the book, which is quite delightful. We have partnered with the PT Film Festival, and they're doing a streaming movie pairing with The House in the Cerulean Sea, which is Boy by Taiki Waititi. People can watch that for a week on demand, or on March 5th at 1 p.m., they can go to the Rose Theater and see the film for free. And we have tickets at the library, or you can get them online through our website, ptpubliclibrary.org. So we do have 2 in-person things. Also, the other thing is people can come to the library and write their wishes. We have seeded paper that we will tie to our apple tree outside. So we'll have our first wish tree here. So it's like a nice mix of safe in-person programs with some great virtual programs that hopefully more county people will attend, because you can be anywhere in the community and easily be able to attend at home if you have good internet connection.
I have assumed that part of the community read is people getting together, not through the library, but getting together in their homes to chat about these books. And that is something that you may encourage, you may opt not to encourage. But if you do encourage it, what recommendations do you make to people to protect themselves?
We definitely over the years encouraged book groups to meet, and we have lots of book club kits and books going around, as well as a discussion guide. In years past, pre-COVID, I used to make house calls and help lead discussions, which was really fun. This year, we are freely hosting Zoom book clubs. So if a group would like to reach out to us and be super safe, we will host a virtual meeting for them. And we have a community meeting on March 24th in the evening with Kimberly Gordon from Jumping Mouse. So she'll be leading a discussion, which is exciting.
Have you considered, or in fact, have you decided to do tutorials for Zoom for those people who haven't figured out Zoom, as it appeared I couldn't figure out Zoom a little while ago very well.
Bless your heart. Yeah, us and the Jefferson County Library, we've been given tutorials for the last 2 years. That was one of the very first things we did in the early days of COVID, was figure out how to help people get connected, use our online resources. And then we've been hosting virtual meeting room for the last 2 years via Zoom for community groups.
Okay, well, we're going to come back to you in a little while and talk to you about regular library matters exclusive of the Community Read, but we're going to turn to Tamara Meredith of the Jefferson County Public Library. The County Library is a busy place, not just because so many people use it for so many purposes, but you have activities planned for the very near and more distant future. And let me say also that though I have in the past ventured into the city library, I'm a county library guy because I live out in the county. So I get pretty darn familiar with the county library. It is where I go. And I like it a lot, and I much appreciate it. You have a number of activities, though, and I'm going to ask you about them one by one, and then you'll add some to my list, I bet. Honoring Black History Month, very important.
What we've been doing during the month of February, and if you've seen our website banner, we do have one that says Honoring Black History Month with books. And then, of course, the question beyond that is, what else besides just books? So we have staff that have been putting together reading lists on various topics around Black History Month. We've also been doing a lot of work with equity, diversity, and inclusion within our own library district. And so if you go to our website and look at our EDI page, you'll find a lot of resources for not just Black History Month, but you'll find social justice, reading recommendations, BIPOC authors. Many, many of our diversity areas are highlighted in there. Black History Month is one of those things that we're promoting in addition to the rest of our diversity resources. You'll also see displays in the library. We've done some book discussion groups. We had a great book discussion group this last month with Black History Month as a topic.
Okay, so that's Black History Month, and that will be soon because March is just around the corner. In fact, when people hear this interview, great. In fact, will be March, won't it? I read on your website that really seemed interesting to me is you're partnering with the Washington State University Seed Library. And this is not a book library. This is a library for something differently tangible.
This is a wonderful collaboration that got started actually a couple of years ago. Our mobile services manager, Celeste Bennett, worked with the Washington State University Extension Master Gardeners to match up our bookmobile stops with the Seed Library group coming out at the same time. So you will see on our calendar, jclibrary.info, if you look at our library calendar, you can look at our bookmobile stops. And there are certain days when representatives from the Extension Department will be out there with their seed library. People can come and actually collect and check out seeds, grow the plants, and then at the end of the season, bring seeds back to contribute back to the library. So it's this wonderful collaboration between the library district and the Department of Extension, Washington State University Extension, to promote healthy living, growing your own food, and resiliency throughout the community.
Resiliency is the word that I used in the introduction, isn't it? I was going to make a joke about returning the seeds that people use, thinking that it was a joke, but in fact, it is part of what you expect, that people will collect seeds and then return them to the seed library. Can you tell us any more about the seed library? It's not obviously part of Jefferson County Library, it's Washington State University.
What I can tell you is if you go to the Washington State University website, and I don't have their link off the top of my head, you'll find a wonderful page underneath their Master Gardeners section that will tell you all about their seed library, what sorts of seeds they have available, and their representatives who you can contact for more information.
Okay, I'm actually, as you probably know by now, moving down the website, your website, the Jefferson County website, watching those banners go by and taking notes as they do. Kids Make It, they make origami.
They do. In the month of February, we've been doing Kids Make It origami. Actually, the origami has been for anybody, so it's not just kids right now. No, one of the things we've done during the pandemic is, because we can't do in-person children's programming the way we would normally do it, our youth services librarians are going out into the schools to provide some activities and support with kids to continue to do our youth services piece. But in the library, we've offered a youth crafting station and some make it and take it kits. And so instead of coming in and having a story time and an activity event happening where all the kids are in there together with parents, we have a station set up where there's an activity, some directions, some markers, some paper, whatever the activity is for that particular month. And so this past month in February, we've had some origami to make little butterflies that can be used as bookmarks or they can be used as a variety of other things. But it's something that the kids can do in the library at that station or take a packet home with them and do them at home. We've got another one coming up in March for swooping bird kites where kids can actually make a really neat, and if you follow us on social media or look at our website, you'll see pictures of the birds that are coming out in March for kids to make while they're here.
That will be fun to do, and maybe even some grown-ups will be involved with it as well. Melody and I at least revealed ourselves as being optimists, and maybe you are too, Tamara. Looking towards a future that is so uncertain, because once, not so many months ago, we thought we were breaking free of the pandemic, and then a new variant came and we weren't free after all. But it seems like we have yet another time to be optimistic, if not reason to be optimistic. How do you see, and I'll ask Melody this first and then come back to Tamara. How do you see the Port Townsend Public Library edging back into a library life that we considered normal 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's a great question, Phil. I think what's important to know for the Port Townsend Public Library and the Jefferson County Library is we've been serving our patrons this whole time. And we are really creative and adaptable. And I mean, we are servant leaders. That's why we have this deep calling to work in public libraries. So we know how to serve our public safely. And I think that's really important. In the early days of the pandemic, when the libraries were still closed, we were still figuring out a way to connect our patrons with online resources. And then we were doing curbside, and now we have people safely in our buildings again. So I think what we're hopeful for is just to be able to continue to build back some of those in-person services and exploring what are the silver linings that we've learned from this time. You know, these craft bags, we handed out over 5,000 craft, steam, and spice kits at our library alone last year. I'm sure that the county library did even more than that. And these virtual programs, so maybe we'll do some more hybrid. There's been a good lens on equity, diversity, and access, and how some of these programs in a way are making them more accessible for a broader group. So I think we're learning good lessons here, and we just continue to do as much as we can within our capacity for our community.
So I don't imagine when you went to library in school that you had any training. I assume you went to librarian school.
This is true. Yes,
we both did. Yes, and even admits to it that you had any training in what do we do when a pandemic emerges? How have you and your library, how have you learned what to do?
Wow, sometimes it's minute by minute, right, Tamara? We pivoted. I think what we, and I'm sure Tamara will second this, but we learned such good values and principles for the role of public libraries in our community. So I think having that core dedication to serving our community helped us through the difficult times as we're creative problem solvers and think, okay, we just want to know how we can best serve our community. And we're going to try different things and we're going to be resourceful and resilient. And I think we've seen that throughout libraries throughout the country. And now more than ever, people know how important their public libraries are. When we reopened our doors after being closed for a year, what we heard is just how much people missed being in our spaces and seeing us. At the end of the day, that's what they wanted. And it was really wonderful to be able to bring that back.
Tamara, really the same question to you. And I don't want you to say reply exactly the way that Melody has replied.
You won't.
You're Dr. Meredith, but now that I know that you're a musician and I guess a bit of a historian, I have no idea what your PhD is in. You've nevertheless probably been to library school in some respect. And I bet at library school, you didn't study pandemics either, did you?
I did not study pandemics, no. I did do a library science master's once upon a time. The PhD is actually in digital technologies and learning. And I would say nothing prepares you for this sort of situation. Melody's absolutely correct. It's, you know, we learn as we go. A couple of takeaways for me. Number one, libraries are really good at sharing information, and we became even better at sharing with each other during the pandemic because we really learned to rely on each other in a lot of ways. It's very easy for me to serve my community knowing that I know my community really well and I can provide these services and I can identify problems and supplement. But when everything shuts down and you're not in your space and you're not able to directly touch your community, we learned that we have a lot of resources amongst ourselves as libraries across the country. I'd say there are tighter relationships now between library leadership across states, across the nation, between publics and schools in many cases, because all of us have the same mission. And we had to come together to figure out how to do that. We all deal with stuff that people touch. We all deal with air that people breathe. And so there's been a lot of shared knowledge that I, as a positive for all of this, that I think we've really grown a lot in the past couple of years where this might not have happened otherwise.
And one of the things that you came up with, I don't know how you learned to do it, but I thought it was pretty clever, was the drive-in spaces in the parking lot.
We've seen it done in other industries, right? Whether it's food service or, you know, coffee shops. There's a part of me that would love to have a coffee stand that is a book distribution point, because how much sense does that make now? That would be perfect. But yes, so we learned about different services. One of the other things that we learned prior to the pandemic, we saw many libraries systems getting rid of their bookmobiles and mobile services. Things were being put online. We didn't need to operate these big hefty vehicles. You know, there are all sorts of reasons to not. And, you know, the Jefferson County Library District has a bookmobile and uses it a lot because it is a primary point of service for seven different locations. A lot of libraries have gone back to looking into mobile service vehicles and purchasing them now because it was such an effective way to reach our communities when we didn't have a library building we could go to. That's been really interesting to watch across the library communities, realizing that the digital divide itself is one of the prompts there. You know, we realized really quickly that we can't get to a number of our patrons just by putting things online. And so by having a vehicle to actually go into the community and provide not just the staff, but also the professionals to provide services was really critical throughout the pandemic. So that's the other thing that's come up for us, I think, over the last couple of years, is realizing that those mobile services that we might not have relied upon so heavily before the pandemic really came in handy as we realized how we could actually reach out to those communities that weren't digitally connected to everything.
Yeah, and Phil, I want to add, because Tamara is just such an amazing innovator, the Jefferson County Library has just started this digital equity navigator program that the Port Townsend Public Library has partnered with. And I hope Tamara can have a little bit of time to talk about that, because it's revolutionary.
I will grant her that time if she wants to.
I'd be happy to. So just in the last couple of months, as part of some of the outcomes of the pandemic, we did recognize that the digital divide that we'd already identified was much bigger than just making sure people had an internet connection. It was learning how to select a device. It was learning how to use the device, basic cybersecurity, knowing what was safe and what wasn't. And so through a number of partnerships, we've managed to grant fund a position for the next 2 years of a digital equity navigator, whose role is to basically serve the entire county in a capacity to help with understanding how to connect to broadband, assistance with subsidy programs, low-income grant programs, provide basic information literacy training, or support those training needs for anybody and everybody. You know, some recent things that have come out, there was a program that recently ended that had some leftover hotspots. We couldn't do anything with them. The library has plenty of hotspots that it's checking out for wireless service. These were some that we couldn't use. So our digital equity navigator coordinated distributing those hotspots to Bayside Housing. And so we're working within the community to try to identify assets and redistribute when we can, as well as support individual needs. So it's something you'll probably be hearing about quite a lot, but basically if anybody has any questions about broadband access, when it comes to actually signing up or using it for the first time, we have a position, we have a full-time person in place to actually assist with that now.
I can see you're putting your PhD to good use. And I'm happy about that. I actually have a question for each of you. Who is your internet provider at Jefferson County Library and at Port Townsend Library? I ask that because I'm making do here with a hotspot in my house, but where I live, internet otherwise is pretty difficult to come by. In fact, it's impossible to come by. At the library sometimes, it's really quick. And I'm wondering, at each library, in fact, who provides your cell service or your internet service, rather?
So at the Jefferson County Library, we are part of the K-20 network. So we are tied into the same sort of fiber optic line that the schools are tied into. So we do have super fast internet here at the library, and it allows us to provide all of the wireless access points, you know, where people can be in their cars in the parking lot and get very, very fast internet speeds here. So we are very fortunate with that we have that capability. So for our library system, at the Port Hedlock branch. That's how we're operating.
I much appreciate it because I often have sizable uploads to do for the radio station, and it's your parking lot, or maybe when I'm lucky enough to get inside your library where I do that work. Well, I want to change topics briefly because we're not having much time left. Looking towards the rest of 2022, since we have you right now, Tamara, what are you going to be doing? What are we going to be doing when we come to your library? What project do you have keen ideas that you're going to implement for the rest of the year?
You know, we would all love a crystal ball. Right now, what I can tell you about what we absolutely have planned, we know that there are going to be some shifts with what the public is able to do when they come into our facility shortly with the masking mandate and that sort of thing. We do not plan any change in operations for ourselves when it comes to actually providing public service. We're open 7 days a week. We're back to our kind of regular schedule when it comes to public access. We'll still be providing computers, books, holds, you know, all of our regular services. We don't anticipate having in-person programming until we hit probably summer reading. We really want to have an in-person summer reading program because we can be outdoors. We will, starting in March, be back to doing our outdoor story times for youngsters. So we're hoping to be able to provide in-person outdoor activities soon and into the summer. Our real hope is that by the fall, we'll be able to provide hybrid programs for folks. You know, Melody mentioned the fact that people have really identified that they can attend programs after dark at 7 o'clock if they can use Zoom to get there, and that's wonderful. We know there's a need for people to be coming here as well. So what we're going to be doing over the next 6 months or so is really working on how to deliver programs from our facility where people can be here and also watching elsewhere. And it takes a little bit of work and a little bit of finessing with technology and locations and that sort of thing. So our hope is by the fall to be able to offer those types of hybrid programs online again for everybody. But beyond that, you know, we've got some capital projects, some construction projects coming up here. It's just kind of business as usual for us moving ahead.
Change the oil on the bookmobile.
That's right. That's right.
Probably a lot. It gets a lot of miles, doesn't it?
Melody Sky Weaver, same question to you. What's coming up for the rest of the year? Maybe not all the rest of the year, maybe the next 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. Well, again, like Tamara said, we're excited to see what, you know, with the, some of the mandates going away, what that will look like for us. And we are in the midst of planning summer reading, which is always a wonderful core program that both libraries do together in partnership with our wonderful school districts. And that's all about promoting a joy of reading. We're planning outdoor programs because hopefully it'll be beautiful and we can have people gather safely outside, you know, trying to just, we don't have that crystal ball, so we don't know if there'll be another variant and things will go backwards. It feels lately like we'll go 2 steps forwards and 3 steps back. So I think we're just trying to plan for that so that we don't have to take anything away. We just slowly want to keep adding back services. We just restored Sunday hours at the Port Townsend Public Library. Once we get fully hired, we're looking forward to adding Monday hours back. So our community will have us 7 days a week. Again, the county library has been offering 7 days a week since November, which has been exciting. So the more we can just say we're trying to return to whatever normal looks like, the better.
Very well. And by the way, it is 2 steps forward, 1 step back. We have to correct you on that one.
I know. I said that intentionally, Phil, but thank you.
Well, I'm going to say
I like that. Thank you.
With those words and with his laughter, we conclude Attention Please. I want everybody to get out their reading glasses, their masks, their trust in their friends and their neighbors, and enjoy all that our libraries have to offer, whether in the parking lot or inside the library. My thanks to Tamara Meredith and Melody Sky Weaver, directors of our two county libraries. I'm Phil Andrus.